up your children, and don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know we've got to walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and pray that Jesus is love.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. We're having great weather here in Detroit, Michigan. Thank you for blessing us, your sheep, with good health, right mind, wealth, peace and joy, happiness. Thank you, Father, for protecting us from the evil one, from all hurt, harm, disaster, and dangers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hi there, sheep. This is the Feed My Sheep Show. I am Sandra Harris, your hostess. I know you have your four P's ready and handy. What are the four P's, you ask? Your pen or pencil, paper or pad, along with your New King James Version of the Bible. And that's where I'm going to read to you from the King James Version of the Bible. We left off last session with Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. Now I want you all to read along with me. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and let's read, starting at verse 5. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. Man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. Now, with our last session, I want you to always keep in mind Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, where it tells you that God created man in his image. He created male and female. And in verse 28, he blesses them and tells them to be fruitful and multiply. So I want you to keep that in mind. We have just read that God formed man from the dust, and he put man into the garden that he had planted. Now, let's go to chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is one which encompasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. I'm surprised that the oppressor has not found the land of Havilah. Verse 12 reads, and the gold of that land is good. Dillium and the onyx stones are there. The name of the second river is Gishon. It is the one which encompasses the whole land of Cush. Now, Cush is Ethiopia. That's where Cush was located, and now it's called Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is one which goes towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Now, where I have in mind that the Garden of Eden should be located is bounded by like Ethiopia, Iraq, and the Persian Gulf, somewhere in that area. That's where I think the Garden of Eden should be. It could be underwater. I don't know. At any rate, that's where I think the Garden of Eden should be. Chapter 2, verse 15 says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Comparable means like or equal in value. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, it was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Now, when I read that, I think that there was not found a helper comparable to him in the garden. In chapter 1, verse 27, God created man and female, male and female. He just didn't put everybody into the Garden of Eden. He put Adam there. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 20, pick up reading. So Adam gave the name to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to man. Do you hear that? The rib that God made for Adam was a woman. It was not a man, but a woman. So don't get misunderstood or don't get confused. God made woman for man. He could have made another man for man, but he did not. According to this story that Moses is telling, God made woman for man. Verse 23 says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She is called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, what Satan has done right there, he has planted the seed of deception. He's planted doubt in Eve's mind. And that can happen to even the best of us. Someone says something, and you get to thinking, okay, well, maybe I should. Or, you know, maybe you just not listen to it and gone about your business. So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, I just picked up on chapter 3, verse 6. Let me start again. So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the cool in the garden in the cool of the day. I'm thinking that's before noon. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I'm thinking Adam said this, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, I'm thinking this is what the Lord said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And this is where I always think that Adam wanted to eat of that tree, and that's why he ate, because he had a choice not to eat. Let's pick up on chapter 3, verse 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Now, when God created Adam and Eve, they were intelligent. She said deceived. How would she know how to say deceive without having some sense or without having intelligence? Chapter 3, verse 14 picks up and says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity,'" enmity means hate, hatred, "between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman, he said, and I'm saying he means the Lord, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of the ground you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Now, when I read that, I'm thinking that perhaps people should be buried, not cremated. But that's just me thinking. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just thinking that we should be buried. Chapter 3, verse 20 says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." And you will find that to be true when Noah, because Noah is a descendant of Adam and Eve. Now remember, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created male and female. So there were other male and females on the earth. It's just that they were not in the garden of Eden where Adam and Eve were. Let's pick up on chapter 3, verse 21. "Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made garments of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us.'" And right now, in verse 22, chapter 3, I'm thinking that God is talking to someone, someone other than Adam and Eve. Let's pick up chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden," talking about Adam and Eve, "sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim." A cherubim is an angel, "at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guide the way of the tree of life." So if anyone wants to get to the tree of life, they're going to have to beware of God's sword. And that's one place I would not try to go. but that's just me. Let's pick up on chapter 4. Start reading. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel's and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. You know, sometimes, like, let me just interject this. When someone, you see someone else get praised, you say, oh, wow, my turn. Because you have done what you think is your best. And then you don't get praise for it. Or if you have a test and you studied just as hard as that other person, and that other person gets an A, whereas you may get a C. And then, you know, you feel funny. You feel sad. Why? Because I've been in that position. Plus, when I didn't work hard on any of my tests, that's when I got a good grade. But when I worked hard, I would always end up with a C or less. Nonetheless, enough of that. Let's go on. Remember, Cain's countenance fell, so he began to feel sad. Chapter 4, verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will not, excuse me, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Again, that's why it's important to parents that you not treat one child different from that other, because that other child watches you. Now, I know a lot of times you may favor this child over that other child, but be careful. Try not to show any difference. If you buy one toy for one, you buy another toy so that the both of them will get a toy at the same time. Let's go to verse 9. Oh, let's go back up to verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. Now, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth and received your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. A fugitive or a vagabond means to me like a wanderer, a hobo, or a tramp. Chapter 4, verse 13. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, then it shall be on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone find him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelled in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife and conceived and bore Enoch. Now, this is where it's so important, because I used to think, how did he have a wife? Because, you know, Eve only had two boys. But then if you read chapter 1, verse 27, you realize and remember that the good Lord made male and female in his own image. So that answers this question. And Cain knew his wife and conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and he begat Mahujadel, and Mahujadel begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who played the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman of bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain, Nayuma. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Nayuma. Then Lamech said to his wife, and I'm running out of time, I think that I'm going to pick up on chapter 4, verse 23, let me mark that in my book, for the next time. I hope that you have learned a little bit from reading this with me. And let me just go to my closing prayer. Oh, before I go there, let me say to baseball, go Tigers! Make us proud. And whenever you all come, make sure you visit Tiger Stadium. It's one of the beautiful, it's a beautiful place. Go Lions! Go MSU! Go U of M! Now my closing prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for giving us this beautiful day and giving us our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Remember the things that the Lord hates. Proverbs 6:17. Do not shed innocent blood. Take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. And if this is God's will, I'll be with you next time.
And I know We've got to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause He's love and His wisdom will be our help in hand. I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts. Jesus is